Hey everybody, Steve Maxwell back again. It's February 2nd, 2014. It's amazing. This podcast is one that comes from an email that I got from a customer who was asking me, would I do a podcast about this particular topic? And I originally said, well, no, I probably wouldn't because it's really not my area of expertise. But when I thought about it a little bit, while I don't have a lot of experience with some of what we're going to talk about here, I can certainly tell you what does and what doesn't work and what some of the what some of the products look like. And specifically what we're talking about here is import drums from the 60s, basically. And there was so much going on in the 60s. Obviously, the major U.S. companies, Ludwig, Gretsch, Slingerland, Rogers, Camco, I mean, everybody was still doing a fabulous job building drums in this country, and the drums were fantastic. Imports coming in from Japan were starting to show up at that point in time, and this was in the days before, I'm talking specifically about the days before that companies like Pearl, Tama, and Yamaha got really, really serious about the U.S. market. The very first imports we started seeing in the 60s, I remember really well because that was a time during which I was looking for my first really good drum set. And I was trying to figure out how I could afford even a basic U.S.-made kit. And there was a lot of import stuff in the market at the time. The problem is the import stuff that showed up in the 60s was generally just not really very good. So if you come up, well, let me back up a second. Some of it wasn't very good. Some of it was okay. And there were some really interesting finishes on some of those kits. So let me just give you a little background. If you're looking at an import kit from the 60s, the ones you want to probably stay away from are the ones that had really, really, I used to call them balsa wood shells, because the drum shells were so light. They were either pressed wood or very, very thin and not good sounding veneers and plies. And they just really weren't good drums sound wise. They weigh next to nothing. They're very, very light. And one of the real characteristics of these import drums at that point in time was to make them as cheap as possible to start to eat into the U.S. market share. So as a result, most of the drums you see there have very significant compromising features. The rims are very, very thin, almost seem like aluminum. They are always going to be on the short side with lugs. You see a lot of 6-lug bass drums instead of 8-lug bass drums, and certainly you won't see any 10-lug bass drums there. So you see a lot of 6-lug 20-inch bass drums instead of 8. You see routinely 6-lug floor toms instead of 8, 6-lug rack toms, which of course was the norm, and more often than not, a 6-lug snare drum. The strainers on the snare drums were generally very, very thin, almost like aluminum, very poorly made. The drums did not sound that good. They were a really inexpensive alternative to get something started, but they just didn't sound very good. So a lot of what you'll see back then will be that particular type of product. Some of the classic finishes, red sparkle, blue sparkle, they're out there by the dozens. I started to hate those two colors, as a matter of fact, because when I was young, the only thing I could really afford was the cheap, inexpensive imports, and they were all red sparkle or blue sparkle. I started to hate the color by association with the product. Long story short, on the import products from the 60s, the ones to stay away from are the ones I just mentioned. Now, you start getting into the latter part of the 60s and into the 70s, and companies like Yamaha, Pearl, Tama really started to get serious about product quality, and they really started doing a fine job. There are some very, very cool, interesting finishes you'll find on some of those kits from that particular period. And just be on the lookout for those. We've had a few kits and just some really spectacularly unusual finishes, and these were better drums. You know, you start getting into that later era, and you're starting to see the drums built out with better quality shells, better quality hardware, the proper number of lugs per drum as opposed to going the cheap route, and they are actually really fine, fine quality drums. A lot of the stuff from the early era that was manufactured by a few key companies overseas came into the U.S. marketed under a number of different brand names. There were just all sorts of different brand names there. Mercury, Stewart, the list is almost endless, where people would just contract with the overseas manufacturers, and then those drums would come in, basically all made in the same place but branded under different names for distributors who wanted their own line of drums but didn't want to bother to make them. So A lot of them come in with, there's no name on them at all. It's a vent hole with a with no badge, just a ring on the vent hole, and that's it. So those are the ones I would suggest staying away from. You know, you get a four-piece kit like that, even if it's in great condition, it's probably maybe a $400 set as it is. Some of the later drums from the 60s that were imports, the Yamaha, Tama, Pearl, there's good stuff there. There's nice sets there from the late 60s and starting into the 70s that are things that would sell today in that, you know, probably $700 to $1,000 range for a nice four-piece kit. So, bottom line here is, on the import stuff, stay away from the, what I call the balsa wood drums with the inexpensive hardware and the too few lugs, etc. And if you want something interesting, focus on something from that later 60s era into the early 70s, and specifically look for the ones branded as Yamaha, Tama, or Pearl. That's where you'll get the best value on those. So hopefully this was helpful. That right in and of itself is the extent of my knowledge and expertise there. I say I'm mostly focused on the U.S. Manufacturers during those periods, but this little bit of information will probably help you. And if you come across a very cool and unusual import kit from that era, send us a photo. We'd love to see it. You can always see us on the web at maxwelldrums.com, and you can always reach me at vintagedrums@aol.com, so always feel free to let us know how you like the podcast and what other topics you'd like for us to cover. Thanks.